It's time for another edition of Rockin' the Boat. My name is the V-Man. On today's program, fresh out of jail, Lindsay Parme joins me in the studio.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Parme, a vegan animal rights to the grand jury in New Jersey.
Lindsay had spent 3 weeks in the custody of federal authorities, and she now joins us in the studio. We're going to be discussing the grand jury and the harassment that she faced, as well as the harassment faced by animal rights activists and others. Also in our studio is Nick Henze. He's been organizing on Lindsay Parme's behalf while she's been imprisoned. We're going to be discussing all these issues coming straight ahead here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, Rockin' the Boat, 96.3 FM, www.freakradio.org. Stay tuned. This is an issue we've been covering on the program for the last few weeks, so some listeners may be familiar, but just a little bit of background for those of you who may not be familiar. Lindsay Parme was visited and arrested by FBI agents on Thursday, June 12th, at her Santa Cruz home. She was taken into federal custody over in San Jose and brought before a judge who deemed that she needed to appear before a grand jury. This is in response to her not appearing in front of a New Jersey grand jury, which convened in January of this year, investigating SHAC, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty. And Lindsay refused to appear before that grand jury and was taken into custody. And July 1st, she went before a judge in New Jersey at the Martin Luther King Jr. Federal Building and answered a series of questions that were videotaped and shown to the grand jury at a later date. She now joins us in the studio here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Welcome out of jail, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Can you speak up and get right up on the mic there? I'll try to crank the levels here. Tell us about your experience. What happened? June 12th, you were arrested. FBI showed up. What did they say? How did all that go down? Tell us your story.
Yeah, they tricked me. I was sleeping, and my roommate knocked on the door and said, "Somebody hit your car." And so I like went out. I was in my pajamas, and she's like pointed to my car, and she's like, "Did I do that?" And I looked at the bumper, and then two FBI agents came up behind me and put me in cuffs.
So they didn't even tell you that you were going to be taken into custody. They tricked you and then brought you in cuffs and what, threw you in the car?
Yeah, put me in the car in my pajamas. So don't ever fall for that.
Wow, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. Tell us then, when they put you in the car, what did they tell you? Where did they take you? What happened next?
Well, they were the same FBI agents that subpoenaed me, and so they basically just said, "Lindsay, you didn't think you were going to get away with not showing up, did you?" And I stayed quiet the whole time. We drove to San Jose, and they took me in front of a judge down at the federal building, and basically I just said that I wanted to get a lawyer, and they held me at Elmwood facility in Milpitas.
And for a couple of days, you weren't able to really eat too much food, is that right?
Right, because I'm vegan, and so they didn't have any vegan options.
What other kinds of treatment did you suffer at the hands of the authorities? I understand they shuffled you quite a bit through the different federal jail facilities. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it took 3 weeks to finally get out to New Jersey, and during this time, I was held in 6 different jails, and anyone that's been in jail knows the worst part is getting booked in, being in the holding cell for hours. Most times I was in the holding cell for like 14 hours just waiting to get to a bed. They took me up to Seattle, then I was in Oklahoma City, and during this time they kept me in solitary confinement and didn't let me use the phone even to call my lawyer.
You mentioned that you had on shackles, your feet and hands were bound.
Right, yeah, and there's a chain around my waist that connected to my handcuffs.
And again, you were not charged with any criminal offense?
No, the whole time they didn't charge me with anything.
So they wanted you to appear before a grand jury, and after 3 weeks of this treatment where you were shuffled around through the different facilities, photographed each time and fingerprinted every time, right?
Right.
Each facility.
Yep.
All for a few questions in front of a grand jury that ended up being videotaped. Is that right?
Well, actually, the grand jury was in the room.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't clear on that. We have a caller calling in. Let's see if... I guess we'll take some calls. The number in the studio here is 427-3772. This is 96.3 FM, Rockin' the Boat. I'm joined by Lindsay Parmay and Nick Hensy. Lindsay Parmay was just released last week, and she joins me live in the studio. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say I think that your rights were totally fucking overrun, and that really pisses me off. And I hope... I probably shouldn't say this, but I hope that if you were guilty of whatever crimes they were suspecting you of, that that you did it and it was fun. But I hope that they never find out. Anyways, I'm not following your case that well, so I hope that everything works out. But it's amazing that they can just take you off the street and not even charge you. That's against the law. What law? I know that the law has no law for itself, but it is against the law to do that. And I'm just totally amazed. Bye.
Well, thanks for your comment. Do you want to respond to that? I mean, you were not even charged with a crime, so I want to reiterate that Lindsay here was, in fact, not being charged with anything, and she was wanted for questioning for other, you know, I guess for just this sort of fishing expedition into investigating the animal rights movement. Joining us in the studio also is Nick Hensy. He's been a guest here frequently on the show in the last couple of weeks talking about Lindsay's case. Nick, what do you want to... You wanted to respond to the caller?
Yeah, if I could just clarify. I didn't quite catch the beginning of the question, but again, it needs to be made clear that Lindsay, just as most animal rights activists in the last few months who have been dragged before these grand juries, aren't even charged with the crime. They themselves aren't being investigated for a crime. The federal government is more interested in finding out why they support particular so-called crimes and why they're involved with certain organizations that support such so-called crimes. And so the investigations aren't necessarily investigating criminal activity or the individual subpoenaed. They're more, like you say, fishing expeditions as to the mindset and the strategy and the affiliation and the membership of so-called terrorist organizations. Again, they're not fact-finding missions. They're nothing more than political witch hunts. And that's why it's incumbent upon all individuals to realize that grand juries are one of the biggest threats to democracy in America. They're the biggest threats to leftist, progressive, any sort of individual organization that challenges the status quo. Grand juries are the most imminent threat that we can face in this country right now as you can see, you can be dragged before a grand jury and your rights are suspended and you can ultimately be held for 18 months in prison without any charges levied against you.
Lindsay, let me ask you a question. You were looking at 18 months. Your refusal to testify, you were steadfast in that, and you maintained throughout all this that you would not cooperate, that you were going to assert your Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. Did it ever go through your mind that you would spend 18 months in federal custody? What were you thinking? Did you think you'd get out?
I was pretty confident that I would get out. And I knew the grand jury was impaneled in October, so I figured I'd only be in there at least till April. So I said I could handle that, especially if I was going to be housed in the Philadelphia facility, because that one was a lot nicer than the other ones. There was juice on tap.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what they were looking into. You guys are both involved in the animal rights movement. You lobby and demonstrate on behalf of the rights of those who have no voice. Talk a little bit about what do you think they were looking into. Lindsay, let's start with you.
Well, for the past few years, there's been a campaign to shut down the animal testing lab, Huntington Life Sciences, which basically kills 500 animals a day. They've been caught in 5 undercover investigations, punching beagle puppies in the face. And they're the real criminals here, not us. All we're trying to do is inform the public of what's happening to the animals and get them shut down.
And how are these animals killed? Maybe, Nick, you could address that. Tell us a little bit about what some of the tests that are done there, for some of the listeners that may have not heard the other shows that we've done recently.
It really depends on the sort of experiment that the animal is involved in. But, there was recently undercover videotape released of a Procter & Gamble experiment going on at Huntington Life Sciences in their New Jersey facility. There's experimentations going on where, I mean, regardless of the experimentation that goes on, no animal that enters Huntington Life Sciences leaves there alive. An average of 500 animals ranging from mice and rats to guinea pigs to goats and sheep to primates to dogs and cats. They're all murdered. They're all brutally killed for nothing more than cosmetics, for weed killer, for the new wonder product called Olestra, which was a big slam on the market, as some of us may remember. But regardless, these animals are killed for nothing more than money. And they've been cited by the USDA for non-compliance with the Animal Welfare Act, and that was kind of brushed under the table. And the government has routinely stated, you know, well, we're here to uphold the Animal Welfare Act, and we're here to protect animals. And when the government has once again shown that they're incapable of doing their job, citizens throughout the world have taken upon themselves to uphold the law. And what do we get? We get arrested, we get beaten, we have our houses raided, and we have thrown in jail for refusing to comply with a political fishing expedition. But regardless of what they throw at us, whether it's 18 months in jail or they're going to kill another one of our comrades, we're going to beat them. We don't back down, and we don't lose.
And talk a bit about, I know that I've asked you this before, but maybe just again for people who didn't hear the first couple broadcasts, what some of the tactics are that are utilized in the animal rights movement, the people that are protesting against Huntington Life Sciences. I mean, we're not talking about just traditional pickets, are we? Or there's other things going on, correct?
Well, there have been, you know, the good old traditional pickets and letter writing campaigns, and we've been doing those for a good 20 years now, and I don't see animal suffering being reduced, unfortunately. And a company like Huntington Life Sciences, they don't really respond to the public. They're a contract research organization, so their customers are other corporations like Procter & Gamble, Monsanto, Immutran. These are other huge multinational corporations that really to some extent are the weak links in the chain. And so what this campaign has done is rather than holding signs and picketing in front of the gates of Huntington Life Sciences and yelling scum and murderers, which, you know, they are and they know that they are, we've taken the campaign to their investors, to their employees, to their customers, and that's what's proven to be one of the most effective tactics that leftist organizations are doing right now is taking on secondary targets and providing them with the information and say, well, you know, here's what goes on. You know, we're showing them undercover video footage of beagle puppies being punched in the face, monkeys having their chest cavities cut open with pliers while their hearts are still beating, and saying, well, is this the type of company that you want to continue to do business with? And we'd hope that a conscionable organization or company would say, no, you know, we didn't know that was going on, and we're going to take our business elsewhere. But unfortunately, money speaks louder than words, and money speaks louder than the conscience in America today. And so we've taken away that financial incentive for those companies to keep doing business with Huntington Life Sciences.
That's the voice of Nick Henze. He's joining me here on Rockin' the Boat. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Nick Henze has been organizing in the last few weeks on behalf of Lindsay Parme, who joins us also in the studio. She has spent more than 3 weeks in federal custody, bouncing in and around six different federal prisons, and finally brought before the grand jury in New Jersey last week. Lindsay, we have about 15 minutes left or so. Maybe we can talk a little bit about your reasons for being involved. You're just, you know, I mean, you're talk a little bit about yourself. You're 20 years old. How did you become involved in the animal rights movement?
Well, one day I went to a meeting about civil disobedience at a local library in San Diego, and they showed a video of how animals are treated on fur farms and slaughterhouses, in laboratories, in circuses, and I couldn't believe it. Like, I was already a vegetarian, but I had no idea all the suffering that is caused from eggs and dairy. And I went home and opened the refrigerator and saw meat and eggs, and I just could not eat them anymore. And so I've been vegan ever since.
And you became involved to the point where you've been arrested, as you mentioned to me off the air, about 20 times. I was doing a little bit of research, and I came across an article or something about you having to go to court on September 11th, 2001, the day, of course, that the World Trade Center and Pentagon was attacked. You were convicted on that day, is that right?
That's right.
Tell us about that. What happened? And what was that experience like in the hours after, you know, this big terrorist attack, the day no one will ever forget?
Well, it was in San Francisco. I got arrested in July for doing civil disobedience at Neiman Marcus against FIR. And they took us to trial, and I was convicted on 5 misdemeanors: trespassing, resisting arrest, and conspiracy. And it was just sad because, you know, I don't know.
I mean, did the judge seem to have a different attitude than your other experiences on that day? I mean, maybe, did something change on that day, did you think?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Probably resolved their dedication to putting any sort of political dissent under. As we can see, you don't hear grand juries being convened about rapists and murderers, but you hear more grand juries, which there are 7 that we know of going on right now investigating animal rights activists. And if the record serves me right, no human being has ever been killed by an animal rights activist. No human being has ever been murdered by an animal rights activist yet. We're facing the brunt of the government more than any other criminal out there.
What's the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act? Is this something new post 9/11, or
it's actually a worthless piece of legislation that was enacted to try and quash political dissent and animal rights activists? I mean, there's been the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act or whatever to supposedly increase the charges and penalties for people convicted of engaging in illegal activity in regards to animals, and like every other legislation that they've passed to try and stop animal rights activists, we've again proven our resolve to show them that regardless how many laws that you pass, the laws of morality aren't on your side, and we're going to follow morality and not some corrupt politician's laws.
Lindsay, maybe we can jump back to you for a moment, and if you could talk a bit about how this whole process of being brought before the grand jury has disrupted your life. I mean, you have a job, and you go to school, and, you know, you're trying to live your life like anybody else, and also speaking out. Well, tell us a bit about how it has affected your life, like, for example, your job. How, you know, give us an idea of what this has done, what 3 weeks being bounced around has meant for you.
Well, as far as my job is concerned, they let me have it back. This isn't the first time I've missed work for being in jail for protesting, so they're used to it by now. But as far as school goes, I'm trying to get on the Cabrillo basketball team, and I missed the summer league. But it was worth it. I would do it again in a second. I would never voluntarily appear in front of a grand jury and show up, you know, even if it does mean losing 3 weeks of my life or 18 months. And something I wanted to add was, I did plead the 5th to every single question they asked me, including my age. And there's always a possibility that they'll grant me immunity and I'll be forced to answer the questions. And, you know, in that case, I'll still refuse and possibly be thrown in jail again.
So this investigation continues?
Correct.
Let's talk a bit about what kind of questions they asked you. For example, give us some examples, aside from your age and typical, like your name, those kinds of things. What were they looking for specifically?
Well, basically, he just asked me questions about my statement that was released while I was in jail and why I thought grand juries were undemocratic and stuff like that. He asked me a little bit about a protest I took part in San Jose against Marsh, the insurance company, like, that was insuring Huntington Life Sciences, who have now subsequently are not insuring them anymore. But that was basically it. Probably only 20 questions at the most, and it took 20 minutes, and then they put me on a plane to go home after spending 3 weeks dragging me out there.
That's Lindsay Parmay. She's joining us live here in the studio. You can call in if you have any questions at area code 831-427-FR. SC 427-3772, and this is Rockin' the Boat. Let's see, we have about 10 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, there was just a question I had, and then I kind of forgot. It was about the grand jury. In fact, your statement, you mentioned you put out a press release while you were in custody. You compared the grand jury proceeding to the attacks that took place in the 60s on the civil rights movement and other movements for social change during that era. Talk a bit about that. I found that really interesting and in reading, and I wanted to maybe hear you maybe expand on that thought.
Yeah, well, it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, in the 60s, they used to put attack dogs on protesters, and I always found those pictures really moving, because now when I get arrested and get put into a pain hold, you know, I think it's the worst thing in the world, and I can't imagine going through that type of harassment and physical torture. And but yeah, basically that's just now it's they don't really do that as much. They don't use fire hoses and police dogs, and they use grand juries instead to try to silence us.
It's more insidious. Nick, maybe. Oh, looks like we have a call coming in. We'll go ahead and take that call right on the air now. You're live on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Do you have a question or comment?
I'm just wondering if you had any interactions with other inmates at all.
Lindsay?
Oh, yeah. While I was housed in California, I was in general population. So I spent a lot of time with the women in there. And I found all their cases to be really sad. And actually, while I was in there, I got to inform a lot of people about veganism. And one woman swore to me that she would go vegan as soon as she was released.
And I was wondering what the reaction was to you as a political prisoner.
They were all really supportive of
Thanks
me,
for the call.
And they couldn't believe that I could actually be held in that facility for protesting. A lot of the women in there, you know, are victims of the government themselves. They all have kids, and they're in there for drug charges, which I think is totally ridiculous. And it doesn't work. It doesn't solve their problems at all. But they gave me all their fruit and made sure, you know, that anything they could do to help, they totally helped me.
How was treatment of your support network, and what kind of reaction did you get from guards, or if any, as a result of you having a support network organizing on your behalf?
The guards got really frustrated. One morning, one woman called me out and was like yelling at me, saying, "Tell your friends to stop calling the jail, demanding vegan food for you. We have a jail to run. We can't deal with this." And I was just like, well, you know what? Then give me vegan food. The problem will be solved. And she just like yelled at me some more and told me to go back to my bed. And actually 10 minutes later, she came in, apologized and said that she understands, you know, why I'm in there, and that she thinks it's really courageous of me to stick with my beliefs, even though I was starving. But
so this investigation is going to go on. Do you know of any other activists that are currently being subpoenaed, Nick, maybe?
Well, I know of three activists who are mentioned in the grand jury. I don't know if they'll be subpoenaed next, but I can assume that if they are subpoenaed, they won't be cooperating.
Your name came up in a question. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that?
It doesn't surprise me. I kind of slammed the assistant U.S. attorney in the media, so maybe he was that was his jab at me. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, who knows why they ask the questions that they ask? But it's important for activists to know that it's best not to speculate as to why the questions were asked or why someone was subpoenaed. But I mean, we do know right now that as I was doing support for Lindsay, there were 6 grand juries going on that we know of, and then I got a call from some activists in Chico, California, who were just the recipients of subpoenas for another grand jury in Sacramento, and so. It's just all the more important that people know that never to cooperate, never to answer their questions, never to let yourself be intimidated into answering questions.
And these 6 are just activists, animal rights cases, right? And there's other grand juries investigating other things, surely.
Oh yeah, definitely. These are just grand juries that we have the prestige of being convened in our honor. There's 7 grand juries that we know of. There could be 10 times that amount for all we know, because as as you're aware, the assistant U.S. attorney in New Jersey refused to even acknowledge that this grand jury exists, you know, despite me having a subpoena in my hand and having the other activist subpoenaed. So, you know, you never know when one's going on, and that's what's so troubling, is that they aren't responsible to the public. They don't have to be held accountable to the public. What they do goes on behind locked doors, and the testimony and the proceedings are never made public.
We have just a few minutes left. Maybe we can wrap up. Lindsay, let me ask you this. Did you get a chance to speak to the U.S. attorney, Charles McKenna?
Briefly, yes.
What did you say?
Oh, well, he mainly did the speaking to me.
Right.
He said, 3 weeks of your life wasted when all I was asking for was 36 hours.
Did you get a chance to respond?
No, I didn't say anything to him.
What are your thoughts about him? If you had a chance to speak to him and thought he would listen, what would you say?
I don't know what I would say. Basically, to stop harassing us, because it's never, you know, whatever he does, it's not going to work. It's not going to stop us. You know, we're going to close down Huntington Life Sciences eventually, regardless of how much intimidation and harassment he inflicts on us.
And then I guess maybe we can wrap up with just some thoughts on, for our listeners, if they are, you know, if they're using products, how would one go about finding out if the products they're using are tested on animals, and how can they get involved with the movement?
Well, I think, I guess how they could first get involved with the movement.
Yeah.
If you're locally, I guess you can call area code 831-429-2248. Again, that's 831-429-2248. And for everyone who is outraged at what goes on, I mean, similarly, when we see things going on in the world that are bad and that pain us emotionally or psychologically, we choose not to partake in that. Many people are pacifists for that reason. Similarly, if you're offended and outraged by what happened to Lindsay's situation, you need to realize that this is solely because she spoke out on behalf of animals. And when more people in society take the same role as a grand jury resistor and B, a person of conscience who expands their circle of compassion to include animals, to see animals as something more than commodities and as something more than a meal, you know, that's going to deal the biggest blow to the grand jury system and the political repression that goes on in this country. And all we're simply trying to do is, we're not angry people. We're trying to show people that compassion should extend to everyone and everything and everything that can experience pain. And the animals inside Huntington Life Sciences, I can guarantee you, display the same sort of emotions and the same sort of feeling that goes on. And I can say that when an animal has been kept in a cage for his entire life, there's no experience that you'll ever experience as seeing that animal touching ground for the first time. And those animals in Huntington Life Science have never experienced that. And we would simply ask people to find out where their food comes from and where their products were tested, and to just be more conscious consumers, and then take a proactive approach. And when you see something that's wrong, go out and do something about it, and refuse to cooperate with a corrupt government.
That's Nick Henze. He's an above-ground animal rights activist, and he has been organizing on behalf of Lindsay Parme. She also joined me today here on Rockin' the Boat. That's going to wrap it up for us today. And again, for more info on SHAC, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, check out their website at shacusa.net, and that's obviously the United States organizing group, shacusa.net, shacusa.net. Tune in again tomorrow from 5:30 to 6 o'clock for another edition of Rockin' the Boat here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, www.freakradio.org.
There are those with good hearts who do what they feel to be right. There are those whose souls have been twisted by the power of might. For money or for stature, they hold all others down. They hope you look the other way as they tie the chains so tight. To weaken us, they numb our minds with drugs and alcohol. So we're so high we don't notice when we fall. And the TV tells us all is well that we live in a free state. In the face of this destruction, we must retaliate. Resistance. resistance, resistance. Sing the song, sing the song, sing the song.